Good afternoon. Scott Spears along with you on this Wednesday, April the 25th, 2018, 16 minutes past the hour, and we're going to have some fun today. Now, I want to do some things right off the bat here. I want to congratulate Andrew Hobson. Andrew Hobson called in this morning and was the winner of one of our trivia questions yesterday. The trivia question was, name the two toy stores that used to be located in the Southland Mall. The answers were KB Toys and Circus World. So we thank Andrew Hobson for calling in and getting that right. And also George and Charlie for being on this morning. George Custodis and Charlie Evers. They're always fun to listen to, and what a great time that always is. I had a lady stop in this morning, Ruth Haas, to pick up a prize, and she was commenting on how when they are on, she just sits and listens, because that is really a treasure trove of Marion history. Now, we are going to have some fun with trivia. Trivia questions we did not get answered yesterday. Trivia questions that are new today, and I've got some that I think will stump you. But before we get to the trivia questions over our next two-hour period, this morning, as many of you know, Ohio State football coach Earl Bruce was laid to rest. His funeral, I think, was at 10:30 this morning. And I was lucky enough to interview the coach back in 2015 after Ohio State had won the national championship. Coach Bruce was with us on, I believe the date was January 15th, 2015. And in memory of Coach Earl Bruce, today we are going to replay that interview. And after we replay the interview with the late Coach Bruce, we will come back and do trivia for the rest of the afternoon. But let's go back in time to January 15th, 2015, Coach Earl Bruce. And it is an absolute pleasure to have our first guest on today via telephone from Florida. He's a man I've wanted to have on for a long time, especially after the great national championship win of the Ohio State Buckeyes last Monday, 7 days ago, over the Oregon Ducks, and I think you could consider it a blowout, 42-20, go Bucks. He is the former head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. He's an Ohio legend. He's a broadcaster. He's just about everything you can imagine. Coach Earl Bruce. Coach Bruce, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good to speak with you. After that big national championship win last week, what were you thinking?
Oh, golly. What a high time in our program to win three games back-to-back in a championship march. Our league over Wisconsin, 59-0, and then Alabama, and then the grand one over at Oregon. University of Oregon. I couldn't think of it for a second. But that our team played very well.
You know, Coach Bruce, going in, knowing that we were the fourth seed before Alabama, did you ever think that we were going to win the national title with a quarterback down at that point? Two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I did. I really did. I'll tell you why. I watched Jones play when he first came here. I saw him throw the ball on his knees, 70 yards. I see that he's a runner and he likes football, and I think he got it finally. When he got his chance, he was ready to play, and he did a great job. So, and he's really a good player, and I listened to him when he announced he wasn't turning pro, he's going to return and get his education. Sound like he's matured, and that's what he needed all along, a little maturity and a little, because he had ability. He just needed to get everything right for him, and it came out perfect. He was a good leader for our football team in the games. He showed the way. He threw the ball exceptionally well. And when he ran it, I say this, he's 6'5". If he just falls forward from the line of scrimmage, we may gain four yards. So what the heck? He's a runner, and he's a significant player in all three of the games. And that was good.
Coach, being that Braxton Miller was hurt before we ever played a down this year, and we go on to win a national championship, how bittersweet do you think that this season has been for him?
Oh, he's had I'm sure he's had a long season. I mean, to see your teammates go to the national title and you're not a part of it because of injury, that's a significant hurt. But he had a mature, and he's going to finish his education and be a Buckeye for him.
So you think, here's the question, Coach. Who is going to be the first-string quarterback next year?
Oh, that's quite a question. I don't know. The one that stays healthy. After all, we got two that are have very bad injuries, one to his shoulder that he's got to come back from and be able to play, pass the football at the quarterback position, and also run and take a hit. There's a lot of, and then the other one was a leg injury that's very significant also. But I hope by then they'll be on the mend and be able to go and participate, because it's going to be another great year for Buckeye football. And I don't know what you do with three quarters. I'm glad we have that problem. I'm not the one that I have to solve that problem. So I'm going to sit and watch and look and see how it all travels down the road. But I think it's a great problem to have, with three really talking bold and both all wanting to play a role.
Yeah, absolutely. Hello? Yeah, I'm still with you. Absolutely, it is a great problem to have. But being that you were the head coach, and you still stay very active in Ohio State sports and your broadcasting career down in Columbus, if you had to make the decision, what would you make? What, in your opinion, Coach Earl Bruce's opinion, who would you have starting next year?
Well, it doesn't matter. Right now, it doesn't matter about that. It's matter who comes to the top as the quarterback problem. If you're going to make your mind up ahead of time and say, oh, this kid's going to be the starter, that won't be fair to the other two. I don't think that's significant in coaching. I think who is going to do it, or how many are going to do it, or whatever transpires on the football field will make a decision. And it might change. It might change. Goodness gracious sakes, on how a guy performs. No one knows now of the three quarterbacks which one's going to be the best next year. If that would be, you would be making decisions today about things that you haven't even practiced for. And that can't happen in football.
I think
you have the competition and see who wins the competition.
I think that's a fair answer. But let me say this, Coach Bruce. The decision at some point will be made. And when that decision is made, do you think the two gentlemen who do not get the spot will stay at Ohio State?
You know, Scott, you're just like everybody else in Columbus, Ohio. You want someone to tell you answers to questions that can't be done, and you want decisions now that can't be made. And no one can do that. And that's Columbus. That's what makes it so damn good. We've got some people that love to have controversy about football at Ohio State. It's always, they've done it since Woody Hayes, they did it since Earl Bruce and John Cooper, and they've done it forever. And they don't sit back and relish the significance of how great the football is, and a lot of them really, I think, look for problems. You just got to solve those as you go. And you know what? None of those people could solve those problems. They can't. You can't make those predictions. Any sports writer in the world is just a writer. You understand? He's not. He doesn't know enough about the game. It happens on the football field, and who knows that? It's you can't be a magician and say this is going to happen in football or that's going to happen in football. I'll give you the one. No one thought that our football team would win the national title when we started against Wisconsin. They thought we were going to lose to Wisconsin. They thought we were going to lose to Alabama. They thought we were going to lose to Oregon. Very few thought we had an opportunity to win the national title. There are those that believe that can happen, and there were. And that's great. That's what makes football so exciting. You can't say this is going to happen or that's going to happen. I'll bet you down in Alabama, I heard them all talking about how weak the Big Ten is, how weak it is and how it is. I mean, how do they know? I look at it now, the SEC's a weak conference. God almighty, they play trash in that league. Or you go to the Pacific Coast and Oregon, trash in Oregon. They didn't win anything. They weren't physical enough to win anything. I'll tell you what, our guys were physical and ready to win, and they won it. And God bless them, they played their heart out to do it.
Absolutely, and I think in Ohio we do relish this victory. I think just we're always looking ahead.
I'm talking before the game. I'm talking before the game. They didn't think we had a chance, and they deep down, and I know what they thought afterwards. Yeah, everybody knows afterwards who wins. It's before the game. How do they feel? I mean, that they're question mark. But I think it's great that we won the national title. But it's a great thing because they really worked hard to improve after we played Virginia Tech. They worked hard to improve themselves and gain it. And I saw that, and people saw that improvement. And you saw it in the kids in the play that they did and how they put out. Oh, we had a stumbling block here and there. In football, you do. And you got to get through that stumbling block so that you win the game. And we did that. And we went to, overtime at one time and won the game. It's a great game. It's a struggle. You can't decide because there's so much who's going to play that day? What team's going to show up to play that day? And how are they going to play? How together they get? They were really humming as a team. As a football team after we played the league championship game. But boy, what growth they had. No one could have predicted that growth probably, or projected it. Anyone that watched the team in practice and saw what was going on and doing that, they would feel what a good job the coaching staff was doing. The coaching staff and the young players meshed. And now we got an opportunity to come back with a real powerhouse football team next year and open the season. And the challenge is to face the teams that we're going to play and have victory every time. That's really a challenge because now you're the target that they want to knock down.
Absolutely, and I think Ohio State certainly is in that position. Do you think the media has treated Ohio State fairly?
Absolutely. I don't think they've ever mistreated them. They haven't always thought that they were going to win, I bet, but what do you say? I think when you start to win, you get a bandwagon going, and there's people that start to come over and say, hey, man, what an opportunity. And when you look at it, that's why the Buckeye Nation is so good. And look at the games we went to. 70% of the stadium against Oregon was Buckeyes. 60% against Alabama was probably Buckeyes. And when you go to the league championship, it was even greater than that probably. But that's what we do. We do support the Buckeyes. There's no doubt about that.
When you came in as head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, you came in at an interesting time, Coach Woody Hayes being let go from the university. With the press and everything swirling at that time, how hard was it for you to take over from that great man?
Not hard at all. Not hard at all, because he didn't make it hard. He made it easy. He supported me all the way through my career of 9 years, and he passed away my last year. Some said if he lived, I probably wouldn't have been fired. I don't know about that at all, but I want to tell you something. He's the most loyal person in the world and the most wonderful guy to talk to about the game of football. But he was a tough guy, and he was a tough for the people. Some didn't understand Coach Hayes. He made me what I was because he brought me back when I left school and was going to stay in Cumberland, Maryland, and maybe go to school someplace else and not come back to Ohio State when I lost my knee. But that being said, he called and said, come back. I want you to coach football and help coach the football team. So I went back. And many years later, I became the head football coach to replace him. Nor did anyone ever realize that would happen, you know, me included.
After you were made head coach, when was the first time you spoke with Coach Hayes, and what did he have to say?
I spoke to Coach Hayes the night I accepted the job. He called me on the telephone, and he said, I'm going to be around, and I'm very much interested in the program. I'm not going to bother you. And he thought coming around the first year was not good. We finally convinced him, especially a couple of my, his friends and my friends, to come back to the program. And he called me several times and came back to football and was at the games and did a lot of good things. He's an exceptional man.
You know, Coach Bruce, it's very interesting because we know why Woody Hayes was let go with the incident with the player. John Cooper, I think, accepts the idea that beating Michigan was a big problem, and that's why he might have been let go. We certainly know what happened with Jim Tressel. That was national news, and now we're on to Urban Meyer. A lot of people say, why was Coach Bruce let go? He was a great coach. He was winning. He was good. Do you have a reason for why you didn't have a longer tenure? Did you want to have a longer tenure?
Well, yeah, but I got to tell you, there's something about, I guess I could say what, it was a political thing and nothing else. It was and involved the president of the university and downtown, but that's been here for a long time. And if you look at it, every coach that's ever played here since been in charge let's say before Woody Hayes, after Paul Brown. Paul Brown never got a chance to come back because he wanted a job. He was then at the Browns in Cleveland. And he was going to interview for this job. He had a token interview, and that was the end of it. But he wanted the job back. He didn't get it. He went to the service, and that's how he lost his job. But most coaches since that time have been fired. That seems to be a thing. And it normally was because if they lost three times to Michigan in a row, they were fired. Woody said that. I said that. I'm one coach that got fired that didn't lose to Michigan three times in a row, but I was still fired. And so when you look at that, John really lost to Michigan more than three times. So that's something else. But that being said, he wasn't fired. But